Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani. Evans with the left foot. He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sounders FC podcast presented by Toyota. And it's a much happier mood. The Sounders coming off a 5-0 win, first win of the season. And it was a massive one against Montreal. For those who were in the house on Saturday night, you'd have felt Lumen Field electricity like we haven't felt in a long time. And I'm sure even those watching and listening at home or on the road, it felt like the Sounders of old in a lot of ways. So we'll definitely get into that. The team, as we record this, is making their way down to Frisco, Texas, to play against FC Dallas this weekend. A Dallas team that has made kind of an indifferent start, but historically, the Sounders just have not performed that well in Dallas. I don't think as a player. Do you remember winning there as a player?
I can't. I was just trying to remember a moment where Jingle Bells was
there. Had to have been one. We're gonna dig into this. But I know for sure it's been a difficult stomping ground for the Sounders. But Sounders beat Montreal 5-0. Now, there were 24 shots, attempts from the Sounders, 11 on target, to Montreal's 5 attempts to 2 on target. Sounders with about 60% of the ball in the game. And then, you know, Rui Diaz with 2 goals, Jordan with 1, Alex got in on the act, and then Dylan Tevez in 90+7 coming with a goal. Montreal, of course, going down to 10 men. Just the game, Brad, your kind of observations of the game. Did you sense, we did a podcast before the game, and I sat with Marcus, and I said it's going to either be, if it's 0-0 for a long time, they're going to frustrate us. If we can score in the first 15, 20 minutes and just unlock them, I feel we're going to win. It was when Raul's goal, because the first 15, 20 minutes, they were better. Montreal was much better than the Sounders. And it wasn't until Raul scored that wonder goal, took a little deflection, but still a wonder goal, that the Sounders then took over and then were just, I mean, goals, Smash says all the time, goals change games. And that's exactly what happened. But would not expect a 5-0. I thought maybe a good 2-0, 3-0 win. 5 was deserved and really, really good. Just your impressions from that victory and just sort of the concept of how huge is it just for the team morale? Because I said it was not a must win from a standing perspective, but I think it was a must win from just morale. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, well, I was gone in the Yukon for 10 days, but I did get home in time to watch half of it, and then I rewatched the first half. Yeah. And, you know, I want to reflect on Montreal and their kind of standings coming into it first, right? 6 games away from home. That was their 6th game away from home to start a season. And they had some you know, success away from home. They were at a 0 goal differential, which is good for 5 games before that being on the road. And so as a team, I think that was playing confident. And you come into Seattle, you know that Seattle is going to play. They're not going to sit back. So it allowed Montreal to play their game. And they did for the majority of that first half. And then goals change games, like you said. And we were waiting 3 or 4 games now for the Sounders to finally get off the mark and the run of play early in a game. And we thought it might be in that Colorado game. It just didn't happen.
Yep.
And now it's, you know, I still have a qualm about this, like, being nominated for goal of the week when it's
Raul, it was?
I think so, yeah.
No, you can't with a deflection.
He was
with
the deflection. Of the match day, too.
Okay, that's fine. I agree with that.
You can't with a deflection.
Yeah, you can't nominate a goal of the week with a deflection. No. But anyhow, when you shoot, good things happen. How many times have we been in that position and we're looking to pass the ball and make some magic out of it? But when you shoot, deflections happen. You know, and fortunate enough that it fell in the back of the net for the Sounders. So a great start for the Sounders, and then to get a PK and you know, to get 2 right off the bat is killer. And you knew Montreal's heads were down at that point. And then things just pile on for Montreal. Yeah. But credit to the Sounders for pushing. What I really liked in the second half is 100%. They smelt blood and they went for it.
100%.
I think they could have been complacent, save some legs. But it was a game, like you said, that they needed to really assert themselves and say, hey, no, we need reps and getting the ball in the back of the net. And what better way to do that than a team that's a man down?
Yeah.
And even when you're a man down, you still sit back with 9 behind the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it doesn't really change all that much. And the Sounders played really, really well. I think everyone had a fantastic game.
Yeah.
The connections were there, driving forward with the ball and really committing defenders. And it was ultimately the slip passes that led to the success of the team that we haven't really seen before. And to get other guys off the mark, Jordan's off the mark with a cheeky goal.
Good finish.
And Tevez as well, I thought was a fantastic finish, going right to left. Your balance is off. And then Alex with a tap in, obviously, with some good work from Rusnak. So overall, a great performance for the Sounders, and hopefully something that gives them, I mean, we were here today all day. We watched practice, good vibes. Guys are joking around. And so, like you said, morale is up. I wouldn't have wanted to be in here maybe last week to feel what that pressure and stress was like before that game, because that was a must win.
Yeah.
You know, I think for 100%. Sounders fans, and it was an unspoken must win. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one where we had to win, but that unspoken, we got to get a result here at home. Otherwise, our fans might not show up in droves next week.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with what you said. Like, they went for the jugular. They smelt blood in the water and went for it. Because the work, and I could see it came from Schmetz, because I thought, you know, 2-0 up, 3-0 up, they've gone to 10 men. We're going to see JP 60th minute. And he didn't do that. He rolled Jordan, Christian, Albert, Raul for as long as possible. Like, let me get these guys the reps and some of the movements. And, you know, we were seeing Jordan pop up on the left, the right, Albert everywhere. Like, it wasn't stagnant. It wasn't static. It looked like some of the dynamic movement which you've seen. I think Alex's goal was, for me, the goal of the game, because that was Albert driving at the back line, plays the 1-2 with Raul, great given goal, ball across the box. And when the team's scoring tap-ins, a ton of tap-ins, I remember Arsenal, the Invincibles, when they went an entire Premier League season undefeated, most of the goals were tap-ins. Like, they were walking the ball into the net. It was so good around the box. Like, Lundberg scored like 15 goals that year, and Henry had his 25, and Perez, and they were all scoring tap-ins all the time. And the Sounders have done that for years past, where it's very dynamic movement. So before the game, I have a tradition. I always sit by Schmetz during warm-up and just pick his brain and talk to him. And some things are for air, some are not for air. In this one, I said to him, like, what's been the best game so far this season? And he was like, you know what? It was the game against Colorado, and we just couldn't kill them. Yeah. We couldn't finish them off. And he took out his notepad and says, I'm going to reference that when I get back in there to let the guys know that we actually played really well that game. We missed the killer instinct. So I think that was the last thing ringing in their ears when they came out. And then once Raul scored, went after it. And I think even when Montreal went to 10 men, we've all been there where, okay, the game's won. It's 3-0. They're not going to beat us, right? And we can kind of chill. But it wasn't. It was just dynamic and kept going and kept going. And I loved to see that. And I wish you were there for the pre-game podcast we did, because there was a question that was asked that I'd been thinking about. One of the fans, season ticket members that was in there, asked Marcus Hanneman and I, he says, which way does it work? Is it that we, the fans, with the boom, boom, clap, are we giving you energy? Or is it the way you guys drive and perform giving us energy? And I said, it's the chicken or the egg. I don't know. But I felt that on that night, the players had to give the fans energy. I don't think it's fair to ask the fans in that game in particular, the way it's gone, to be the ones driving it. You have to see a good tackle, a good header, relentless attacking football. And then I think when Raul's going in, I mean, that place was electric. Like, it was loud. And I was just looking around. Danny Jackson and I were in the booth like, wow, we've not felt this in so long. So I do think sometimes the player's performance on the pitch has to drive the fans. And we got that at the weekend. And I thought it was just magnificent. You mentioned everyone played well. For you, who did stand out? Like, who did kind of, like, you know what, they had a really top game?
I think Raul stood out for me.
He's been good.
I think he's been so good.
He's been
killer. He's been deadly.
Good. Yeah.
And he's celebrating with the team again. Yeah. And, you know, number nines are always going to have an attitude.
Yeah.
What number nine has come in here and you've been like, man, that's my best friend?
they're all crazy.
Any of them? they're like goalkeepers.
Yeah.
They're
a different breed.
Yeah, they're a different breed. It's like everyone else is the engine room, and those guys are just... Yeah. They're psychos, right? Yeah, and that's what allows them to put the ball in the back of the net. Every number nine we've ever had here is a huge weirdo. Yeah, everyone 100%. Else, pretty normal, right? Pretty even keel.
Can we get on next week? Who was the number nine?
They were all crazy, though. It's true. Because he took, like, for example, like Clint, nice guy, but you get on the pitch, he just wants to score.
Oba.
Clint Oba, same.
Yeah.
Kufo.
Socialize, want to score. Kufo, Eddie Johnson.
Freddie, all of them. Like Fred, that too,
they
right?
want to score.
Nate
they
Jaquan,
want to be
weirdo.
The J.
Roger Levesque, weirdo.
They want to put it, that's why they're there. Put the ball back in the net. So,
I just really, the way that Albert's come back and played,
he's good.
It almost looks like he just needed a little bit of a break, even though the injury came at kind of a bad time right before the LAFC game, just to take a breather and take a look and just. He has never been injured, really, right? And so to come back from that injury and feel confident again, I think is a huge boost for the Sounders. And the question is now, can you do it away from home? Because looking at the standings, you know, the Sounders, no wins, no ties away from home.
Mm-hmm.
To make the playoffs and be in good position, you have to get results away from home. You're looking at Vancouver at the top of the West right now and a winning record away from home. That's what a championship team does.
So
this week will be the ultimate test. And I think we have the roster to do it.
Yeah.
And it just, I hope that we learn from last year in the playoffs away at Dallas, mm-hmm. You know, getting shellacked down there and just feeling out of sorts. Yeah. It's like we just need that complete game away from home from start to finish. Play confident, play well. Don't just sit back and absorb pressure because that never works. Mm-mm. It never works. Maybe in a championship game it can work, but not in a regular season game. And so I think it's time for these guys to stand up and you know, get a result away from home. And what that will do for the Sounders' confidence away from home, leading into what is going to be a tough stretch for the guys, because they come home and then go away, right, at DC, and then midweek at Philly is going to be is going to be difficult.
Got Vancouver in there, right? So
What you still look at, and I always hamper on this, is the goal differential. And it's bizarre to see a team that is second from bottom, third from bottom, and have a +2 goal differential. So defense is still really good, right? And then you have a blowout win, but even then you're looking at like a -1, I think, if it's a normal win. And so you're still in good position to progress from there, and the Sounders will get better with time. Pedro, it looks like he's a couple weeks away. Saw him in the training room today. Guys are getting healthy at the right time. Jordan's going out to the left. He's on the left now. Jordan, you're just going to have to play there. Sorry.
Raul's re-earned it. He just has. And by necessity, the team had to. And Raul, he's played well, man.
I just hope that you know, relationship is there between Nuhu and Jordan to really make a statement. But brings it to another topic and your assessment of Cody Baker in that game and how different he is than Nuhu. Is he the next one to step into that role that is going to stake it as his own with his physicality? He plays the game very simple. He does get forward. Is it more predictable than Nuhu? You know, your assessment from being there in the stadium.
It's so funny because before the game, Schmetz literally mentioned him. Schmetz was like, you know, I was talking about just the back line and different things like that, what he wanted to see. And I see, because I said to him, oh, how much freedom have you given Jordan? Because Jordan likes to move around. I said, Jordan doesn't like to stay on the left. He wants to be a nine. He's still going to go inside. Schmetz says, look, we've told him, if they come out and it looks like a back five, he has to stay wide. Right. We've got to stretch them. If they're more of a back three and they're being aggressive, okay, he can play a bit more between the lines. He said, because I don't want Nuhu making our entire attack on the left. And he goes, but by the way, he said, Cody Baker's pushing him. He said that to me. And as good as Nuhu is, and he's flat out a star, Cody's right there, man, to the point where Nuhu gets injured. And yeah, of course you don't want Nuhu to get injured, but you're not worried with Cody coming in. And that's the biggest thing I can pay the kid is, and I still think he's got more to do. He's still, at times you play within yourself when you're a young player, and you can still, once you gain the confidence and a bit more and more. So there's still more to come, but it's Nuhu's spot to lose, of course. But it's only good news for the Sounders that Cody's right there and he's pushing him. And I think once Cody realizes that, how good he actually can be, is going to really ramp up that battle there. But I thought he was fantastic. I've always enjoyed watching him play. He's way better attacking-wise than I think you might think he is. Like, he actually dribbles and tries to make things happen, and he's not scared, and he can defend, and he's tough, and I've seen him go into so many challenges. So he's not someone that you'd enjoy playing against as a winger. And, you know, Nuhu is the man in that position, but he definitely has someone that's pushing him a bit more. Yeah. So I think that's good for the Sounders. I'll ask you this. Did that win in some ways also buy the team some time in terms of taking time to bring JP back? Because can you imagine, had we lost to Montreal, you're probably trying to ramp up JP as soon as possible to get close to 90. But he came in, played these 15, 20, whatever the case may be. I don't think he'll start. I don't think you need to start him this weekend because it's like we're coming off a win. But in some ways, you kind of get these side benefits from just the
results.
Yeah.
And you get them from guys being injured too, right? Yeah. Like, you're forced into situations. If the Sounders didn't have Obed, Danny, and Atencio, I think JP's like, okay, I got to play. And the Sounders are like, we got to kind of get a result in Dallas. But matter of fact is, we have, you know, three deep in that position. So that is a luxury, right? We got two good center backs. We've got Cody Baker pushing in the back line as well. When Reed's healthy, he's pushing in the back line. And then Leo Chu will push for Jordan, right? Yeah. And De La Vega's going to push someone potentially out of who knows what's going to happen. But no team goes through the season perfectly healthy and things play themselves out. So I think, I mean, that's a great point. I think necessity is get JP healthy for a longer stretch of the season.
Yeah.
If he comes back in 3 weeks, great. If that means he's going to be healthy for the remainder of the season, that's his best outlook on the season, do it.
Yeah.
Right? I think we all can be confident in Atencio and Obed to play that role.
Sure.
Away from home, they're only going to get better. Right. We read all the stuff about, oh, he's not mobile enough, he's not doing this. No one is JP. No one is Ozzie. No one is Gustav. They're their own player, but they're also coming into that role 7, 8, 9, 10 years younger than all those guys are. Yeah. Right, Gustav is a World Cup vet. You know, you got JP, who's played at the highest levels throughout his career, and then you had Ozzy in there also. And you know, you run down the list of really good sixes that
Gonzo.
Have gone. Yeah, and Christian's played back there as well. So those are all veteran players. Yeah. Let's give these times a little, these kids a little bit of time and a little bit of grace, because for what they have done is far exceeding, I think, anyone's expectations.
Yeah. Been good, man, especially in the engine room in this league, the way the league's gone, to have two of those young guys. Then they're consistent. They play really, really well. And so I'm agreeing with you. I think they've bought JP a little bit of time. He didn't have to be forced to be back in there to do that. So for Dallas, right? So we've seen Schmetz in the past go on the road and change things up in terms of just be a bit more conservative, right? I mean, he might play a back three or a back five, depending on the way you look at it. They might set the line of confrontation in terms of where they're going to press from a little bit deeper as well, maybe top of the circle instead of, you know, 10 yards, 15 yards forwards from that. Do they need to change much in this approach? Because I don't think Dallas has been winning. Yeah, it's a tough place to play. Yeah. These two teams are so familiar with each other. Almost meet, it seems like, every postseason. Coming for a 5-0 win, the guys are feeling good. I mean, I don't know that Schmetz needs to change too much. I think lineup can be pretty similar, if not exactly the same. He has guys in reserve he can bring in, he knows going to help him. So what sort of approach then, or messaging, I guess Schmetz uses that word a lot, do you kind of take into this game? Because you want to build momentum. Don't want to make it one win and suddenly go on another four or five game winless streak.
Well, you also don't want to vary your play so much that the guys aren't consistent in the way that they play. I hated that, right? Yeah. You're on a good run, and then you go somewhere, you feel like you have to get a tie. Mm. Like, I just, at this point with this team, they're too good, and there are too many veterans to just go into a place and play for a tie. Maybe when you play Philly midweek, it's like, okay, we're coming off 3 days rest, we're driving from DC to Philly, we got to just get a result here against a really good team. And looking at Dallas's results, their only win was the first game of the season against San Jose, who's in last place. And then they lose 2-1, 2-1, 3-1, 2-1, 0-0 tie. So they have four losses in a row and then a tie at St. Louis. So I haven't watched them play too much. I don't know what they're capable of exactly, but it seems to me the writing's on the wall. Let's go in there and play because they have had home games and they have lost. So what do? You watch film. You see what teams have done to be successful. This is a team that you can say, okay, let's do X, Y, and Z and try it on the field and do it. I just think this is a game where you should be licking your chops. And but also on the flip side, Dallas is thinking, well, we've only got one win on the season. We got to go. And how many times have we played there where you think you're a confident team in Dallas, and then all of a sudden they come out and score three goals, and you look like the worst team in the league?
Same spot. They're in the same spot we were in last week.
Right.
Like for them, it's like they need a win for just for the locker room, just so you can enjoy coming into work on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and enjoy that. So they need that. I was going to ask you this: Raul got a penalty, and Danny and I are in the booth, and we're like, "There's no way he Panenka's for the third time in a row." And I thought he might. And had he done it, it would have worked.
Yeah, it would have worked.
He switched it up. For you taking penalties, that mind game of it, if you scored three in a row going the same way, when would you decide, you know, I've got to try the other way?
My decision to go the other, I think I only went the other way maybe three times, I think.
Yeah.
And honestly, it wasn't even a conscious decision. It's like literally as I'm striking the ball, I go the opposite way. Yeah. And I don't know what
did
it is.
Did the keeper go the wrong way?
Twice it went wrong way. Yeah. Once it went the same way, but it was just out of reach. Corner, and I think it's bizarre. Yeah. I don't know. Our brains are so powerful. And, you know, you either make the right decision or you don't. Sometimes you get a little bit lucky. But yeah, I mean, penalties are always such a toss-up, and Raul's obviously killer from that spot. Mm-hmm. Never a doubt that he was going to bang it in the back of the net. I just always struggle with hitting a right footer, hitting it to his left. I mean, yes, if you send the keeper the wrong way, great, but the way that ball is hit, he hits it different than everyone else. He doesn't really naturally put a ton of spin on the ball, like if someone's going to serve up a free kick or a corner kick.
Yeah.
He hits it more bottom to top, so it has like more top spin than it does any sort of slice. And that's why you see him from the top of the box going left to right and then hitting it back to his left. Mm-hmm. He doesn't put a lot of curl on it, but he's able to generate a lot of power where the ball actually flies almost top, right? Top spin versus side spin. And so instead of taking it into the keeper and then bending out where the keeper's got a better chance, it actually is just like a driven laser into the bottom corner. So if you're going to do it, do it. You just got to make sure that you put it in the back of the net, because we played in Columbus Kufo scores a hat trick, Guige gets a PK, you know, and Tyrone's stepping on the mark or whatever, right? Yep, yep. And then Guige tries the same thing and sends it left, and it goes wide or hits just off the post. Yeah. He tries the same exact penalty. So I'm always wary of those. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, you watch Columbus winning in a shootout, and keeper saves one, the first one, down a right footer, down to his bottom right, I think. Yeah. And that's a tough one for me. I just don't feel confident in that specific shot in PKs.
Yeah, we were taught, when I was at Arsenal, our coach was my under-14s team, a guy called Paul Davis. He's a player that Arsenal fans will know, probably played 300, 400 games for Arsenal. Legendary player, but wasn't flashy. He was a centre midfielder, very simple left-footed guy, and he told us, he's like, don't ever go across your body.
Yeah.
He's like, it's just a pass, just like direct run up. Yeah, if you're right-footed, you go in that corner, left-footed. So I never forgot that from him. I was not a penalty taker on any of the teams I was on, so it didn't come up much for me. But
you've never taken a penalty?
At Akron, I took
US
some,
Open Cup, you took one.
I took one, the worst penalty, and it went in.
It was bad,
and it went in. Yeah, so it's weird because I've taken great penalties in the keepers. I remember playing against West Virginia in college. I hit this ball. I'm like, this is like Beckham. This is De Bruyne. This is unbelievable. And the keeper stretched. He saved. I couldn't believe it.
Keeper's left. You're right.
I went across my body, but it was so good, and he saved it. So, but in
Akron, like Beckham, it had that curve on it. It's a save every time.
So I took about five in college, scored four, and then for the Sounders in that penalty shootout, that was the only one. But Keely, you're at every game. Am I right in saying it's been that long since the energy felt like that in the stadium? I thought it was crazy.
No, that's exactly right.
It was such a shitty night, too. Rain.
And we said it had a perfect Seattle night.
It was so cold.
Yeah, it just felt like a real Seattle night. The rain was a bit drizzly. It just was perfect. Then the result was there. It felt like we had so many of those big nights here, and I was even, just the energy around the stadium, even walking through, it felt different to me.
Vibes were good, man.
Yeah.
Vibes were good.
Yeah, it felt very different to me. So,
and the fact that we scored early, too.
That helped.
Like, within the 28th minute or something, I think we scored. Yeah. I don't know, it was early.
It was 25.
So it was... Yeah, it was like relief. Yeah. You could like feel the relief.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So we have tarot cards here.
We do, okay.
This is going to be the Sounders result in Dallas. Keely brought some tarot cards. So we're each going to take one. You ready?
Didn't you guys know that?
Go ahead, Keely. Select from the pile.
I'm feeling this one.
That one, Steve?
This is a good card.
It's good?
Read it.
I've got mine.
I'm going top of the pile.
Mine doesn't say nothing.
It's not going to say anything.
Oh, I thought it was going to tell us something. Mm-hmm. So it's up to your interpretation.
No, it's an interpretation. So I got the Chariot card,
yeah,
which means strength and like basically overcoming any obstacle that comes your way and like steamrolling. So I'm going to say that this is about our game.
Love that.
100%. I have no idea what this could possibly mean.
Oh, this is a good one too.
What is it?
Okay, this is the Eight of Wands, which means we're about to like... It's almost like you've been working really, really hard.
Yes,
and
the
magic is finally exploding.
I'll take that all day. Yeah. Okay.
Mine looks like a satanic ritual.
No, that's the Ten of Pentacles, and Ten of Pentacles is all about celebration and success. These are the best reading we could possibly get.
4-0 win. I'm
like, and there's 100 cards in here that were negative. We only pulled the three good ones.
Yeah. Literally, like the cards have spoken.
Keely, the broadcast info.
Yeah, we're on 93.3 FM, the main FM station on KGR. Apple TV MLS Season Pass. Please subscribe. It's really good. And 1360 El Rey for all our Spanish-speaking fans.
Yeah, and Brad and I are both on this broadcast.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, it's a really, really good one.
We'll both be there. So Sounders playing away to FC Dallas. Kickoff 5:30, but the pregame show starts 5 p.m. In Dallas. I don't know if we ever won there. I don't know if we... Yeah.
I actually have that info. Okay. So the last time we won was in 20... This is regular season. I don't know playoffs.
Wow.
But last time we won there is 2021. Okay. And then even before that, the last time we had won there was 2014.
Yeah, it's not been often. And that's the Port Shield year. So it's not been often at all.
It's a rough place.
It's a very difficult place to play. Dallas, man. Wow. Crazy. But, if those cards are anywhere near accurate,
the tarot has spoken.
Let's get two wins on the spot.
We need to do that every time.
I know. Especially if it works. Let's wait till Sunday. Let's see if it works. We'll text on Sunday and see what happened. But yes, as always, support the Sounders. Make sure you tune in. You have all the broadcast info there. And for this podcast, the Sounders FC podcast. So if you're used to searching Side by Side, we get your podcast. Switch that up to Sounders FC podcast. And we'll be back next week. And next week, we'll be playing at home to Vancouver.
Vancouver. That's yes. Pod night.
Yeah,
pod okay. night.
It's okay. Brad's birthday, and Steph. Michelle Ledko will be back on.
And Stefan Fry's birthday.
Too. Oh wow! Okay, so that's it's a big night.
420.
Yeah, yeah, Cascadia Clash and all of that stuff happening too. That's yeah. a oh, yeah. big, big night. 420. That's gonna be a great night. So as always, thank you for listening to the podcast. Comment, like, subscribe wherever you get podcasts, and we'll be back next week.